Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study titled, But a New Creature, Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. This is, of course, a continuation of our expository study of the Epistle of Paul to the church in Galatia. And we would have included this in our previous study, but we didn't for obvious reasons of time constraint. But this subject is just way too important to skim over. So that's why we saved it, so that we're going to be able to take our time and see all that God has for us. But I always say that with the knowledge that we still have so much to learn on this subject and really everything the Word of God speaks on. But before going to the message, I want to read a letter from a dear sister named Paula. She writes, I want to thank you for speaking the truth and for your sense of humor. I enjoy listening to you and reading your posts on Facebook. Thank you for your support and prayers over the past few years of this difficult time in my life. I hope someday I will get the opportunity to visit your church. God bless, Paula. And we thank you for writing, Sister Paula, and for your words of encouragement. And if you would like to write, you can send an email to our address at bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or you can send your letter to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Again, the email is bbbfohio@yahoo.com, and the postal address is P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And of course, you'll find this information on our website at bbfohio.com. But we always want to remind you that we have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week internet radio broadcast available at bbfohioradio.com. And you'll also find our contact information there. And now we will go to our study of Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, that we have titled, But a New Creature. But we're going to open the study first with my wife, Jenny, singing a song that she wrote titled, Show Me the Way. And we also include a little taste of what we normally edit out for one reason or another as we give away reading material to our local BBF church family and give you a little taste of what it's like to be there. So we hope you enjoy this opening, and then we will begin our study in Galatians 6:15. This is Jenny Miller singing, Show Me the Way.
Help me, Lord, this morning to face a brand new day with a million things on my mind. I begin to pray, show me the way, Lord. Show me your way. by faith to do your will and seek your face and to walk humbly and to do justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly with my God. Show me the way, Lord. Show me your
Now, a couple of things before we get into our message is I do want to show you, Jenny and I had a date night, and I know John Allball takes his wife out on dates, and we double dated Friday night, and,
you
drank
tea.
We did, drank about a gallon of it.
we were
fellowshipping around the tea.
And
then,
how wonderful.
Where is that there?
Is
what happened
there?
To it? Oh, there it is. I'm going too fast for myself. Listen. That's wind. Sounds like we're in a wind tunnel. Then the other angle is a little better, but you couldn't see me.
To remind you how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day.
It's in my pocket. That's right.
Jesus preached, repent and believe the gospel. You can be saved today. No waiting.
We had one guy said, "Hail Satan," and I said, "You'll go to hell with Satan." Amen. I mean, is that true? Is it true? He thought he's going to be a smart aleck and say, "Hail Satan!" I said, "You'll go to hell with Satan."
But the rush you by the wind is Acts 2.
Isn't that the Holy Spirit? A picture of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
No, the Holy Ghost. That's how you would say it, right?
Oh, yeah. She's on the list. All right. First question is, who would like to learn a million reasons why evolution is stupid? This is a paperback book called The Evolution Handbook. Have you had one of these?
No.
Come on down. You're the Price is Right. You're the next contestant.
Aww, Jeopardy.
I'll take two. Oh, I thought it was a thin paperback.
No. I was literally meaning 1,000 reasons why. It's huge.
Not a million? Wow.
Now, if that's too thick for you, give it to Joyce because she was second. It's up to you. But we also have given this book away before, and I've got another set of them. So if you've already got one of these, please don't take another one. But this is called Satan's New World Order.
Yeah, excellent.
Now, the reason why this is important is because you got all this stuff about New World Order, and you're like, "We're going to take over the country and stop the New World Order, yeah!" You know, and that's not what this is about. This is just showing you the truth. There is an attempt for global government going on right today. And this gives you all the names and everything, but it tells you also that you ain't going to stop it. There is going to be a world order, and the Antichrist is going to head it up. And so it's a very good book by a Bible-believing preacher named James Melton, M-E-L-T-O-N. So does anybody want one of these? Drew, would you help me out here and deliver? Dre. And raise your hand if you don't. If you want one of those, Satan's New World Order, and Dre will bring that around. I have one copy of As America Has Done to Israel. Now, this shows how that every time America steps on Israel, God steps on America. And it documents it, and it shows you the reality. It's a great book. Does anybody not have a copy and want a copy of this? Because we've given a bunch of these away. Janice? Okay. Nick? Oh, well, I thought Nick was sitting up closer. By the way, I love Nick's shirt. The Fat Farm. P-H-A-T. P-H-A-T. Fat Farm. And then one final thing. We got 2, 4, 6 copies of a little book. These are the kind John Allball likes. And there's pictures. And it's called Answers to My Mormon Friends. And we got 2, 4, 6. So, Dre, hand them out to people who have their hands up. And, yeah, and one to a family, by the way. You guys can share if you... I wasn't dragging that towards you. I saw him already use... He'd already, you know, showed charity and said... So that's all I've got to give away today, unless you need an inhaler. Got one of those.
Thank you.
All right, Galatians 6:15 is where we're going to pick up in our Bible study. And by the way, if you haven't been here for previous studies or you've missed some, they're all available online, free of charge. Galatians 6 is where we're at. And I think we've got about, I think there's 45 studies available, and they're, most of them are in two parts, so they're about 45 hours total if you watch all the teaching. And it's pretty amazing. We hear from people every week. I could go to my email and show you the people who are listening and getting the Bible teaching that they're missing in their own church, or maybe they don't have a church, or whatever the case is. One lady named Elizabeth from Taiwan has been writing, and she's been listening, and it's just great to get those messages. So we'll be in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, title this, But a New Creature. And we'll start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this, again, opportunity to learn your word. Father, I just ask that you help us to pay attention to what you have for us this morning. And Lord, the world is just such a dark place, I guess the best way of putting it, just darkness. And so many Christians get swallowed up by the darkness. And even when they're not living in some terrible, immoral sin, they're just a lukewarmness settling on so many people. And they're accommodating the world and just fitting right in with this fallen world. And Lord, we're called to be a new creature and to be different. And we just want to focus on that this morning. And with your help, Lord, we will see exactly what you have for us in Galatians. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're just going to read one verse. It's where we actually left off last week. And it's in Galatians 6:15. Read that with me. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Amen? Amen. Amen. What was that?
That was a yawn.
Amen. Huh? Free bird. All right. We left off last week talking about the fact that in Galatia, where the book of Galatians was intended for a local church, there was a Jewish element that were telling people you couldn't just be saved by repenting and turning to God and believing the gospel, but you also had to be circumcised. Now, you can kind of, as a Gentile, compare that to those people who go around saying you have to be baptized or you have to join a particular church. And there's, believe it or not, there's churches out there who say there's only salvation through their church. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that. The Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, they teach that. The Church of Christ, the real, real ones, they teach that you have to be saved. You can only be saved through their churches. And they teach that you have to be baptized. And some say you're only saved by staying in the church and taking the sacraments and all that stuff. And he says that to these who are in the first century battling this thing with circumcision, he says, circumcision doesn't avail anything, neither does uncircumcision, but a new creature. And we've repeatedly seen that the works of righteousness and works of the law do not save you. Do you understand that?
Amen.
Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And that means that you cannot go to heaven and boast that you saved yourself. There will be no one in heaven boasting about the fact they saved themselves. and no works of righteousness, no works of the law. But in our own day, there are those who preach this stuff about circumcision, actually. It's not just a thing of the past. It's going on today as well. There are some who are pro-circumcision, and there are some who are anti-circumcision. And the pro-circumcision people are usually the people who are really into the Hebrew identification stuff, and you'll hear them call Jesus Yeshua, Yeshua HaMashiach, you know, because they're real spiritual. They say it that way. And they'll talk about God, Yahweh, Yahweh. And they love to sound spiritual by saying words in a certain way. And those people then, if they're really into the Jewish thing, then they go all the way and say, you know, you need to be circumcised just like they were in the Old Testament. And there's not really very many that just go around saying that, if you're a Christian and you've never been circumcised, you need to do that today. I don't know really, I'm not sure any of the groups do that. Even the Jews today, if you convert as an adult, they actually take a pin and prick the man so that a little blood comes out. And that's all they do for a convert. So there's a lot of weird things going on with that. But then there's this anti-circumcision group. And you say, well, aren't we anti-circumcision? We are anti-circumcision for salvation, yes. We are totally opposed to the idea that you need to be circumcised to be saved. But there's also groups that go anti-circumcision, and it wouldn't be a big deal, but they really go too far with this. Because they'll say it's wrong to be circumcised, and they'll say it's barbaric. And I've talked to some very good people about this, and I said, wait a minute, first of all, take a step back. You're accusing God there. God's the one who instituted circumcision. It wasn't barbaric then, and it's not barbaric now. But then it was a sign. And everybody says, well, if God intended for men to be circumcised, he wouldn't have given them a foreskin. And that's not true. We're in a fallen state now. So originally, maybe that wasn't a problem. But in our fallen state, the uncircumcised do have issues that the circumcised don't, just when it comes to hygiene. And we're all adults here, I believe, and you know, so we'll talk openly about this. But they'll say, well, it affects you. They'll say she had to cover the ears of her little puppy there. But they'll say, oh, it affects you sexually. And if you look it up, they actually have done the studies. There's no difference. Sexually, it doesn't affect anybody one way or the other. And when it comes to hygiene, if a guy is out camping or he's in the military and things like that, it causes some problems. And I know of people who were not circumcised, and as adults, they were so fed up with the issues they had, they were circumcised as adults. And it took them a couple, 2 or 3 weeks of their lives to get over that. And that's how serious it is. Now, am I pro-circumcision? I'm neutral. I just want you to know the facts is that there's nothing wrong with either case. It's your opinion. It's your decision. Today, circumcision avails nothing. But neither does uncircumcision. See? And that's where you got to get in the habit, folks, of not allowing people to take you down these roads. People will come up and they'll say, well, this, this, and this. Oh, wow, I didn't know that. And they're ready to just jump and make lifestyle changes and all kinds of things. Based on just, you got to do your research, folks. Ask questions. Ask your elders in your church. Go to the scripture. Pray about it. And don't make knee-jerk decisions. The bottom line is, biblically, God doesn't care if you are or are not circumcised. All the men say amen. Amen. Just be glad I didn't get up here and try to convince you that the uncircumcised needs to follow me to the kitchen. Our text says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. But that's not just about circumcision. It's really a bottom line of adding anything to the gospel that is works. And I mentioned, as far as medically, it's a personal choice, not a biblical mandate. The Lord wants us to move beyond the flesh. That's His point. And that's why you all have to sit back as I'm teaching this morning and ask yourself, what is it that I may be putting forth as some test of spirituality in my own life or in the lives of others that is not biblical, that is flesh? What am I putting out as a test of someone's spirituality or my own spirituality? There are people who are tortured, is the word for it. Tortured by these ideas of the flesh. And it destroys people and their walk with the Lord. And then I've tried to counsel some of these people and they just will not listen and they let it destroy them. And all I can do is teach you the truth. All I can do is stand up here and teach. And then you should listen, check and see if what you're hearing is biblical, and then apply it to your life. And stop allowing people to thrive on this flesh because the emphasis is on a new creature. A new creature. To be a new creature, you must have a new birth. To be a new creature, for you to enjoy this status of being a new creature, it's a new birth. It's not about something you do. All right. How many here this morning were born? Everybody but John. He just drops out of heaven. Now, if you were born, let me ask you another question. How many of you who were born today, not today, how many of you today who were born? How many of you today who were born chose your parents? Raise your hands.
Oh, I didn't.
I didn't hear that.
She said, "Dear Lord, I didn't."
Yeah, I didn't hear that. I still didn't hear that. And in addition, how many of you chose when you were born? And I think Charlie would be the closest to that because he came real late. He did not want to be here. Oh, he was early. That's the last time of his life. Because he's such a procrastinator, I thought that's how he came into the world.
You go self.
Do you realize that in reality that's the same thing is true about you spiritually? You don't get to choose. If you want to be born again, if you want to be a new creature, you have to come through you have to meet God on His terms. God the Father says how you are to be born again. And that you are to be born again. The new birth is required. John 3:2. Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." It's not a choice. And you don't have a choice in the matter. You either are born again or you remain condemned. How many of you know that it's not a choice to go to hell? We say that. You do make a choice, but it's really already settled. Do you understand that? Jesus said that he that believeth not is condemned already. You ever thought about that? You're not making a choice, "I choose to go to hell." You're saying, "I choose not to go to heaven." Because you're already condemned. And a lot of people have that mistake of the idea that they're going to get to choose when they stand before God at Judgment Day. It's not going to work like that. You're making your choice right now. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I have to just say this, and I hope and pray that there are a bunch of Roman Catholics listening right now. Because I've talked to Roman Catholics so many times, and when I ask them, "Have you been born again?" they say, "No, I'm Catholic." I say, "Wait a minute, I didn't ask, I don't care what you are, you know. You can be a church of the vanilla yogurt. I don't care what your name of your church is. I ask, are you born again? Have you ever been born again?" And their answer is, "Well, Catholics don't believe that."
Again, that really isn't my question. Jesus believed it. Jesus taught it. So the question again is, have you been born again? You see, the problem is people think they can just choose their birth and whether or not to be born again and how to be born again. Another thing is the Bible, we're going to see, the Bible teaches how to be born again. It doesn't have anything to do with water. It doesn't have anything to do with circumcision. This has nothing to do with works of the flesh. And that's why circumcision doesn't avail anything, or uncircumcision, because it has nothing to do with the flesh. That's why baptism, we'll get back to that in a minute, this is spirit. And so every once in a while, as we go through books of the Bible and we study verse by verse the way God intended it, you'll come across these reminders. Because Paul doesn't take your salvation for granted. Paul wrote these letters to churches that are supposed to be Christians, and yet he, from time to time, challenges them and reminds them that, hey, you've got to be a new creature. And this isn't about the flesh, it's about the spirit. And so this morning, that's where I am with you in this study. I don't know your heart. This is something you've got to do some soul searching about this morning. And you've also got to make the decision you're going to stop playing games with your loved ones. Because I know a lot of people who are playing games with their loved ones. Somehow they think that if they can just figure some way to put their loved one in heaven, they'll be there. And that's not how it works. Your loved ones have to be born again. You can't just say, well, they were good people. I've had people who claim to be Christians and claim to be saved, and then a friend or a loved one dies, and I'll say, were they saved? And I say, well, they, you know, it's one of those people, they were just such good people, you just figure they had to be saved. No, no, no. I'll figure they had to be saved if they told somebody that they were saved. If they confessed that Jesus was Lord and that they believed that Christ had died on the cross and paid for their sins with His shed blood and was resurrected and had won eternal life for them. That's how I know they're saved. And I kind of had this example of this on Facebook yesterday with Justice Scalia. Antonin Scalia believed in the Constitution. Most of his decisions, you know, there might have been a handful that you could argue about, but most of his decisions were in support of the Constitution, taking it as it's written. And that's what we need in this country, and that's why our country's going to hell right now, is because God gave us a Constitution, and people are too smart for God, and they're too smart for the Constitution. They're throwing it, you know, and they're destroying law and order in this country. And Scalia was one of those guys who fought, for example, if it was up to him, we wouldn't have abortion today. If it was up to Scalia, we wouldn't have sodomite marriage today. And when Justice Scalia died this week, if you don't know who I'm talking about, you need to understand America lost a great man. And it's going to make a huge impact if he's replaced by someone who isn't constitutional. What they call a strict constructionist constitutional judge. He was a good man. But was he saved?
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.